Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 269, part 1, Peace. Today is Friday, November 30th, 2012.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Message is entitled Peace. And I think right now our world is in a very sad state. It's troubled, mentally sick, it's confused and polluted and anxious, it's accusing and it's bitter, it's suspicious, it's greedy, it's lost direction, it's divided. Lost all its mercy, it seems like. And I think it's trying to look good to a fault. We're so busy looking good. I mean, they can blow a hole right in the side of one of our ships, but we don't want to look bad. And I think it's the time to come to grips with things. Because sometimes, you know, when we're trying to look good, we're really thinking bad. And that isn't good. I wondered how we're going to look in Siberia with chains around our ankles. All because we want to look good. And so the world is looking for happiness and peace, and it's not to be found in looking good, which always thinks bad. But you know, we're looking in the wrong places. We're looking through drugs, in alcohol. You aren't going to find it in alcohol, I can tell you that. I went through that. Alcohol is throwing up. Alcohol is a splitting headache for you listening on the radio. Alcohol is cirrhosis of the liver and death. You're not going to find it in travel, and I tried that. It's changing planes, lost luggage, you might get hijacked. You're not going to find that peace in amusements. It's the $20 stakes, $5 to go to the movie and $2 for a bag of popcorn, $1 for a little cup of pop, you're not going to find that peace there. You're not going to find that peace in money, and I had that in my lifetime. Because it never brings peace. Money will never bring, it'll bring you turmoil if it brings you anything. You're not going to find it in security and jobs because people are being laid off all over. There is no peace in this world. And so people are looking all over for something that's right there, right in their own backyard. Jesus says, I'll give you peace, not a peace that the world gives. And so we have a sort of a, Bible says, a spirit of fear. And it's caused panic. Well, yesterday, a young man was downstairs and he was troubled. We run into a lot of troubled people here. And he took a cup of water to his mouth and he says, you know what? Why are you having us to drink this sodium pentothal, which is a truth drug? And I said, sir, I don't want to know the truth from you, okay? We're not giving you sodium pentothal here. But I thought, this man is in a panic. He's in confusion. So we'll see people slink in, and they're fearful, and they're afraid, and they're holding on to their little rags and little bags. They're looking for the same peace as that man in the three-piece suit is. That can get on that two martini high, that can have those pills, that can have that the money to overcome. And so we're living in sort of a panic caused by confusion. And I thought to myself, what are people really afraid of? Well, the Bible says in the end there will be a spirit of fear. And I think it's getting to be where people will not make a move without fearing. I wonder if I should spend this money. I wonder if I should do that. I wonder if I should buy this. And I wonder if I should buy that. And I wonder if I should put my money in the bank. And all over we're seeing people that are in a siege of fear. A spirit of fear that speaks to you. Young people. And all over when you talk to young people, seems like they have the fear of the challenge of life. The thought of making a living. The thought of failing. What if I fail? I told one young man, don't worry about failing. If you're worried about it, you've already failed. That fear of failure, the fear of being left out. Oh, how we don't want to be left out. I'll tell you, if I was afraid of being left out, I wouldn't be down here. For the most part, the Christian world doesn't want anything to do with feeding the poor. I don't know why that is. We want to get caught up in amusements, and we want to get caught up in going to Israel, and we want to get caught up in all kinds of things, and we can get sidetracked into different little avenues, and pretty soon we're not around. We take the gospel for granted. Oh, we can come to church once a month or whatever. We start to take our work for granted. Don't ever do that. Because you have to do your work with a full mind and a full heart, and don't be divided in your thinking. Go full blast and go full steam ahead. Because if I had that kind of fear, that fear of being left out, that fear of not being accepted in certain circles, and certainly you listening on the radio know what I'm talking about. Some have the fear of raising a family. Well, I don't blame you there. But Jesus can take care of that. People are running scared, I'm talking about. People are waking up with a nervous gut ache every morning. We get calls every day off of the radio. Pastor, where are you? I'd like to come down and see you. Well, I said, I'm on the north side. I'm two blocks from Plymouth Avenue. Click, brr. We're in an age of I cannot cope anymore. We're in an age of worry and frustration and mental depression. Now, I know people get depressed once in a while. But it seems like more and more people are coming into this depression where there seems to be no way out for them. And so we're in an age also of abortion, an age of feeling unwanted. You go down there on the hobo run, you see these people down there and they have this sort of an unwanted shuffle. Excuse me, I apologize for living look. You ever seen someone like that? That I'm sorry, I apologize. Well, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm alive. Did you ever feel that way yourself? How would you like to feel that way 365 days a year? With no ID. No one wants you. No one cares. And so we're in an age also of unlove because we're not loving people the way we should. There wouldn't be that kind of thing going on. But there is a way to find peace. Yes, there is. People need a word. I'm not talking about from a self-appointed prophet. There's always those that will give you a word. I've had people try to send me to Africa and China and all over the place. Not from I have a word for you people. But people need to, like never before, listen to the voice, listen to the wooing of the Holy Ghost. They need to hear from God. They need to be taught to turn to the Lord, and they find it through suffering. And so we're having people in the world trying to evade reality by running away. You ever hear that song, Run, Run, Run Away? By dodging their responsibilities. By copping out. Some are copping out through Valium now. That's becoming popular again. Or alcohol. Living in sort of a opium existence of unreality. A phony peace. And I think even in the Christian world, we run from reality. People say all over, well, I live by faith. But in reality are sick spiritual bums living off of someone else. People speaking a word to a mountain of responsibilities and expecting them to just disappear. There's so much unreality in the body of Christ, I don't believe it. Man came to me some time back, and this has happened many times, and he had sort of this spiritual look on his face. You know what I mean by spiritual look? Do you ever try to look spiritual? Doesn't work. Doesn't last. And he had this look on him, and I thought, oh, now here's something weird coming my way. And I turned the corner, and I came up, and there he was standing, and he was looking right at me. He says, you must be the pastor. I had all my overhauls and I was all sweaty and I thought, oh, here we go. You must be the pastor. I said, yes. He says, well, I'll tell you what, I don't really know why I'm here. And he got this real spiritual look and I just don't know why I'm here. And I didn't want to go into this spiritual thing with him. You know what I'm talking about? What I had about 50 boxes of garbage sitting over here after a big giveaway. And I says, let me see if I can help you. You are here to help me pick up this garbage and put it over there in that dumpster. Well, he did that, and then he found out what he was really here for. Nothing. He was gone with the wind. Gone with smelly clothes, the last I seen him. No, I have no problem with reality. When I look out there and there's people hungry, there's a job to be done, there's all kinds of things out there to be real with. But they sort of expect these things to disappear, these mountains of responsibilities. And so you can really tell where a person is at when you put them to work. Now, I really believe this, and I've said it enough. I believe that the fruit of the Spirit is work, because the flesh doesn't want to do it. So it's got to be spiritual. And so our Christian world needs peace too. And how, you say? We need to hear from God personally. We need to stop going around asking, do you have a word for me? What do you think God's trying to do? Get to work. Feed the poor. Psalm 85 and 8 says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. And so we must believe that God hears us. And when we do, we will be eager to hear from him. Well, how do you hear from God? Well, it'll line up with the Word of God. You just start doing what the will of the Father is, and you're going to hear from God. And only from him can come the Word which can speak peace to troubled spirits. Because the voices of men are so feeble in such a case. But you know, when you hear from God, his voice has such power. He speaks it and it is done. And when we hear from him, our distress is ended. And I've met with many distressing problems down here in the 8 years that I've been here, as you all know. But every time in that midnight hour, God will speak. When he speaks, it brings peace to my heart. Oh, what a peace that is. God gives you peace on something. Wow. And so we must say, I will hear, O Lord. We need to learn how to be listeners. Because to enter the place of a doer before you have occupied that place of a listener, I think is to reverse God's order and throw everything into confusion. So many people jump the gun. Now Adam tried this plan and found it a failure. He tried works. He started sewing these fig leaves together. But you see, it was of no use, none whatsoever, because he could not satisfy his conscience or remove his own guilt or his own fear. He had to hear from God, and so do we. In this world right now, we need to practice ourselves, study ourselves to be quiet and listen to what the Lord is saying. What is the Lord saying? The Lord is saying, be merciful, especially to one another. We're not seeing that on this TV three-ring circus thing we're seeing. Even the world is following after what the Church of Jesus Christ is doing to its own. And so I will hear what God the Lord will speak, David said. And David heard voices. And there were voices, and then there were voices. There were voices of the past concerning God's wonderful mercy to his people. It says like this, thou hast been favorable unto thy land, thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. But he also heard the voices of the present. We need to study. We need to study to listen to what God has said in his word in the past as an example to us. And then we need to study to listen to what God has to say to us in the present. And so it says, he heard the wailing and the pleading of those who said, wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger on all generations? And so here David turned away from this confusion and cried, like we all must do, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. I will get me into the secret place of the tabernacles of the Most High. I will speak peace to my soul. Oh, how we need to just sit down and speak peace to our souls. How we need to be a listener. How we need to talk to God. Say, God, what would you have me to do? And just sit and listen. Open up the scriptures. And then meditate and just sit and just listen. And say, oh God, what would you have me to do? Is there something you want me to do? Right now, Lord, I want to hear from you. And then expect God to speak back to you. Now I'll tell you something. He'll never let you down. He'll always speak back to you. It'll cut through all of your confusion. It'll cut through all of your fear and all of your anxiety and all of your doubts. And finally, he'll tell you this, and I know this as a fact, for the Bible says so. Give your life to gain it. Really, you're not giving up that much anyway, are you? And so I think this is wisdom, people. When you can find no harmony in all the voices of the street or in the church, turn, I think, to the very sweet melody of God's voice, which will speak peace unto his people. And then again, the psalmist had been praying. At the mercy seat, he had spread out his petition. He says like this, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us mercy. God says, I'll show mercy to those who show mercy. Oh, how we need to show one another mercy in this merciless age. Then he goes on, show us mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. See, salvation is an everyday thing. You're being saved out of something every day. It's ongoing. It says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth. Future perfect cleanseth us from all sin every day, every minute. God's blood is cleansing you. Sometimes we can think we're so saved, and we are. You're saved at the very end. But then we think we're so perfect that we don't have to go on. We can just sit around and judge other people. Don't ever get to that point. Don't ever get to that Pharisee point where you're just one of those people that judges everybody else. Don't ever get to the point where you're the legalist and you show no mercy on people. So when he had spoken, he desired an answer. And he watched and he waited till the Lord God should talk back to him. Do you expect an answer when you pray? Someone on the radio just said no. See, that's like speaking to a friend and not allowing him to answer. Or hearing the answer because of your much talking. Do you ever talk with someone and they talk to you and then they answer themselves and you never get a word edgewise? Huh? You say your wife does that to you? You say your husband does that to you? But I think prayers without faith are an insult to God. Sometimes God doesn't answer you right away. Sometimes you have to go on, you go to work, and you do your thing, and all of a sudden the answer comes, but you have to be listening for it. Sometimes I'll be out on the truck, and I've asked God about something. I'll be out on it. This will be a week later, I'll be out on the truck, and the answer will come, sometimes to a person. Sometimes in my mind or in my heart, and a lot of times with me through a song. And I'll have that peace that passes all understanding. A total peace that just sort of fills and impregnates you and just totally releases you from all fear and all doubt. God, is this going to continue forever? And then all of a sudden, a week later, you get your answer. You don't stop working. You don't lay down on the floor and wait for the, I'm just going to sit right here. I'm going to lay right here on the floor. I'm going to wait for the answer. Okay, I'm not going to do another thing. I'm going to wait here in faith while you die there. God didn't intend for you to just lay down on the job. Are you hearing this? No. You wait on the Lord while you're busy doing His work. Why do you stand here looking up? And so He says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Not only when I'm dazed, not only when I'm confused by other voices, and there's so many voices out there. There's so many people to give their opinions and they give their direction. Why don't you do it this way? And why don't you do it? Sometimes I have to get all by myself. Seems like sometimes I'm afraid to bring up a plan I've been talking over with God because someone will interrupt my train of thought. I don't want to hear that opinion. I want to hear from God. It's so hard sometimes to share with people. Have you noticed that in your life? Sometimes you don't want to share it with certain people because you know it will be a downer. You know it will get killed right there. No, when I have expressed my heart in prayer, but at all times, in all seasons, I shall hear what the Lord shall speak. Now there's many doctrines. There are many controversies. But I will see what He says in prayer through the Word. And just go ahead and pray through the Word. And Lord, this Scripture is so beautiful. I want to meditate it and I want to talk to You, Lord. And it says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. It lights the way. Yeah, and a light unto my path. Listen, even the dead, it says, shall hear it. Shouldn't it quicken us a little bit? Shouldn't we joyfully say, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me? Do you ever feel that quickening in your spirit, and you can't explain it all to someone? It's an idea. It's a creative idea that God has given you, and you're quickened in your spirit, and you want to share it with someone. Sometimes you do, and it gets killed right there. Learn how to talk to the Lord and wait for the creativity to start to take shape. Then people will believe. I remember coming down here 8 years ago. Walking in those doors, and this was a total mess down here. It was mold this thick on the walls. I remember coming in, and so many people were so defeated by this building that had been closed for some 15 years. Old and moldy, no boiler and no pipes and nothing. But I knew something way down deep inside of me, and that the gospel was, feed the poor, meet the needs of the people. And I stood on this little stage up here. It was only about 1/8 the size of what this is right here. And I thought, oh God, now what? An exodus of 300 people. Now what? Before I even opened. Now what, God? Another fine mess You've gotten us into, Lord. Thanks a lot. You mean you talk that way to the Lord? Well, hey, each one have their own way they talk to the Lord, okay? I think a lot of times we're not honest. I think a lot of times people don't even believe they're talking to God. They speak in King's English. Lord, willest thou hear me? And they just poetize, you know what I mean? Do you think that that impresses God that you speak in King's English? I don't think so. But anyway, people are in confusion and they need a clear word from the Lord. Now, how many listening on the radio, you people here tonight, have ears? Check it out. Now, I know they're not just for decorating. They're not just for hanging earrings on or to gather wax like a flower gathers, you know, sap. Now, you can pierce your ears, but can the Word of God pierce them? Will you be able to hear when the Lord speaks to you? Preacher out there, you're listening, and there's a lot of preachers that listen. Why don't you get involved? There's a lot of people out there that need to hear this message tonight, today. No, your ears are to hear where the Bible says, hear and your soul shall live. It says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so your ears then are sort of like the gate to heaven. You must open up that gate. You must turn your radio down. You must turn voices of confusion off. Because men are not saved by what they touch. Men are not saved by what they see. Men are not saved by what they smell or taste or feel or imagine, but they are saved by what they hear. What have you been hearing lately, and who have you been hearing from? With all the unmercy I'm seeing, I'm beginning to wonder where these vessels of grace and mercy that God hath afore prepared, that's us, to be filled with mercy, why are they filled with so much wrath towards one another? Oh, if we ever needed to have a mercy message, we need to have it now. Listen, there is one very special reason why people of God should be willing to hear what God should speak, eager to hear what God should speak, excited. Are you excited to hear what God will speak? You listening on the radio, you here tonight. Are you excited about it? How excited are you? Are you so excited you go down and play foosball or something? Or are you so excited you going out and do the will of the Father, going out and do something? Because the Word says He will speak peace. Oh, God, I prayed to have that. Even before I was saved, oh, if I only had peace. It says He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints. So all you're going to hear from God is peace to calm your fears. Peace to give you joy. Peace to give you direction. Peace to clear up your mind. Peace to relax you. Peace to give you health. Now, don't you think we should start to listen to God? I'm not talking about building an empire. I'm not talking about praying for things. I'm not talking about collecting a whole lot of junk. I'm talking about asking God for peace instead of walking around confused and nervous and frustrated, and suspicious. Now, you can go down any street downtown or go in the stores, and people are living in their own little world. They got these little radios now they put on the belt like this. Then they got the little earplugs in here, and they're in their own world. They're oblivious to everything that's going on. They got these stereo sounds in their ears, bebopping down the street like some kind of weird nut. They're in their own little thing, oblivious to people's needs. Why is that? Probably because they're fearful themselves. They don't want to hear. They don't want to hear about trouble. They don't want to hear about people that are sick and the halt and the lame. They don't want to get into that at all. They're too much into themselves. That's a drag and a bore to be into yourself. You want to get nervous and frustrated? Be into yourself.
There you have it. That was 269 Part 1, Peace. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Serve somebody. It may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame. Maybe living in another country under another name. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns. And you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Spiritual
pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop. You may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress. Maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Somebody.
You may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby. Or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, And it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.